Conecraft FPL. Conecraft, isn't that a do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-
Patreons, happy Friday. It's a Friday deadline, James, which means we have to talk at 1.5 speed so that we can get through everything so that people have enough time to listen before the...
Not really. We've only got 70% to talk about of what we normally have to talk about because it's only 7 games rather than 10. Plus, I'm going to guess you'll listen to the wildcard pod and therefore know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But just in case... But there's anyone who has gone, nah, sorry, I don't want to listen to that shit, James. I just wanted to listen to the differential show. I shall repeat the team that I'm going with. Can't foresee any changes in it. He says trying to find his team that he can't remember what he fucking picked. Pope, Ward, Trippier, Cancelo, Perisic, Emerson, Gueye, Bowen, De Bruyne, Madison, Martinelli, Andreas Pereira, Isak, Haaland, Mitrovic. That's Andreas, Emerson, Gueye, Ward, on the bench this week. Captain Erling Haaland, vice-captain. I've got it on Alexander Isak at the moment. What are you doing, Serge?
I've sold Sanchez. I've sold Archer before the price dropped for Archer. I bought Pope before his price rise, and I bought Mitrovic, Pope, Perisic, Cancelo, and Nico Williams at the back this week. Andreas, Leon Bailey, Martinelli, De Bruyne across the middle, Mitrovic, Jesus, Haaland, captain up top. Mitrovic has got the vice. Ward, Patterson are my two subs. Trent and Luis Diaz will warm the bench, but they can turn up to the bench in suit and trousers if they want because they ain't going to be playing shit this weekend. No chips used, no hits taken. So once the deadline passes, I know one thing, I'll be on a green arrow before a ball is even being kicked.
I guess I will be as well.
I got green arrow last week and there was no football, so you know I'm amazing at this.
I don't know about you, but when do you think the stress ball will arrive?
The stress ball will arrive once we finish this podcast, not this specific podcast. When Planet FPL is done and dusted, the year after is the year we'll win FPL. Obviously,
probably, yeah.
Let's do predictions on these games. Aston Villa home to Southampton this evening, expecting a thriller. I'm predicting 2-1 to Aston Vanilla.
Oh, interesting. What's behind that thought process?
They still have quality at the top end of the pitch. Watkins, Buendia, Coutinho, Ings, Bailey. They still have firepower up top. And obviously the game against City where they might have felt like they could have got something. It was City, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's hard to remember who teams played last now. Yeah.
With obviously this, I think they got a bit of momentum. So I think they'll be all right up top, but I don't trust them at the back. Southampton, I just struggle for goals all year. They'll get one, but not much more. So 2-1 Villa.
I've got 1-0 Villa, which will please those who've been looking at Villa defensive assets. It's worth saying there was a situation earlier in midweek where all of Aston Villa's three goalkeepers were unavailable. Emi Martinez has been ill and there's also been issues around Robin Olsen and Jed Steer. Gerrard said yesterday that he thought that Martinez would be fine. They got him on medicine. He should be all right to play. There's also a little bit of a doubt around Ollie Watkins as well, who's also had a little bit of an illness, should be available. I've got 1-0 Villa. And if I had the likes of Luca Dean this week, I'd be playing him, but I never really considered going there. Oh, 0.3 more. I've got 0.3 in the bank. Could I go Luca Dean instead of Gueye? Nah. Don't really want to do that.
What are Fulham like defensively? I feel like Fulham defensively is something I've paid zero attention to all season.
One clean sheet so far, which was the 0-0 draw at Wolves. Clean sheet was a little bit fortuitous on that occasion. Bernd Leno hasn't kept a clean sheet since he took over from Marek Rodak in goal in game week 3. I did ask Dara on the pod I did with him about defensive assets and he was very nonplussed about it. I mean, he found it difficult to try and define why you would go for Fulham defensive asset, if that's what you... I know they've got good fixtures, but he was like, no, I'll leave that.
All right, I'm going to go 2-1 Fulham then. I was debating 2-0 or 2-1, and you've just... I just don't see him keeping a clean sheet. It's a home tie for Forest. Crowd will be up for it on a Friday night. I think it will be a good atmosphere. But I think Fulham showed even against Arsenal, even though they lost, they don't need many opportunities. They don't need to be peppering your goal and still can pick up and score. So I'm getting 2-1 to Fulham. I think they'll win, but I don't think they'll keep a clean sheet.
As discussed with Dara, I'm going to bottle it. I'm going to go 1-1. I think, as I said to Dara, it's a bigger game for Forest than it is for Fulham. Purely because Forest were coming into this a three-game stretch of Bournemouth, Leeds, Fulham, probably looking at it and going, can we put 5, 6, 7 points on the board? They obviously lost the Leeds game, as in it didn't happen. They physically lost to Bournemouth. So to lose this as well and actually come out this run with nothing would be harsh, whereas obviously Fulham are now coming into a better run of fixtures themselves. So I feel like it's a more important game for Forest. Therefore, they'll be desperate not to lose it. It'd be some psychological blow to have started okay and then get battered at City and lose at home to the other two teams that have just been promoted with you. So I'm going to back Forest to get something tonight. I'm going to go 1-1.
Wolves, Man City, 12:30 kickoff tomorrow. Three nil.
You think, even against Wolves?
Yeah. These guys are too good, mate. I think the thing is, they've been... It's funny, they've been leaking goals. We talked at the pre-season about whether Ederson was worth it at 5.5, and we looked back at his City defensively, and they'd been leaking goals for quite a while. Then they kicked the season off with a couple of clean sheets in back-to-back, I feel like. And you're like, oh, everything we said about them conceding goals, they've just kept two clean sheets. But then since then, I don't think they've fucking hardly done anything defensively. They've let goals in. So... I don't know defensively, but I don't see firepower from Wolves. I don't see it. What's Diego Costa going to come in and suddenly tear it up? I don't think so. 3-0. And City, anywhere between 2-0 and 6-0. Because if it clicks and Haaland has a day, they can fucking batter them. I just think that the potential is just ridiculous with them.
I've got 2-0. I don't think Wolves get slapped about. That said, obviously, City did slap them 5-1. Back in game week 36 during the KDB 4-goal haul. But I'm going to go 2-0 for City. I think they're not overly exerting themselves when they get into comfortable positions at the moment. So I'm going to go 2-0 to City.
Newcastle 2, Bournemouth 0 for me.
Well, you got 2-0.
Mm.
I got the same, yeah. I think we haven't got information, unfortunately, in terms of Gomez and Saint-Maximin's availability. Gomez was meant to be close against Palace 2 weeks ago, so I presume he's fit, but Eddie Howe didn't confirm. Saint-Maximin was still training alone earlier this week, so he's probably doubtful to start. Just to clarify something I said on the pod this morning about Wilson having had a setback, it appears what I actually saw was that Harry Wilson... had a setback at Fulham.
Okay.
So Callum Wilson, he won't be available this weekend, but could be back for game week 9. 2-0 Newcastle and Isak to score.
Yeah. And I think Newcastle will create shitloads more chances and fuck them up. They're a habit at the moment of creating chances and not putting in the back.
On a side note, on Bournemouth, Surge, big undercurrent rumours last 24 hours that a takeover is in process.
Okay.
Eyes on the prize.
Spurs 2, Leicester 1. Unfortunately, James, I feel like your club are going to give you a shitty evening. They'll get the job done, but I don't think you're going to go there and it's going to be underwhelming. Considering you have a good record against Leicester and generally beat them and obviously have a far superior team, I feel like you're going to be better than them, but it's going to be meh. 2-1. But you're still going to win. So I suppose it's something, right?
It's interesting. My instinct was to think the same in terms of a correct score prediction. And in reflecting on the conversation I had with Aaron and Lee prior to the scheduled fixture of Villa at Leicester, and I was predicting Villa to go to Leicester and win 3-1, and now sitting there going, why wouldn't I predict Tottenham to do at least the same? So I'm going to go 3-1. I just think way too much firepower for where they're at defensively at the moment. That said, look, they've had 2 weeks to stew and think on Brighton, and they may have put themselves with a plan together that makes guessing how they'll set up a little bit more difficult tomorrow. I suspect they might go to a back three, possibly. I don't care how we win tomorrow. I don't need 2 weeks thinking about going to Arsenal on the back of a couple of bad results. I generally couldn't give a fuck about the performance tomorrow. I got to win.
Brentford, Arsenal. I'm predicting for this one, James, a big one. 3-2 to Arsenal, but I'm predicting goals, goals, goals. 5 goals in this one.
Okay, thinking?
Both teams will play with high energy, high press style. They'll want to get in the faces of. Brentford like to do it, Arsenal and then you and current guys like to do it. So I just feel like it's going to be a frenetic game, end to end, just both teams swinging for it and playing with that intensity. So I think there'll be goals in it.
It's a difficult weekend to try and find surprise result predictions, so I'm going to throw it in here. I'm going to go for 1-1. I think it's not a slight on Arsenal. I think Brentford has shown themselves to be pretty strong in home games against the best opposition in this league. They'll give Arsenal a proper game. I think the 12 o'clock kickoff is possibly beneficial to Arsenal. It's very difficult to plan there at 12 o'clock on a Sunday to a Friday night. There are reports at the time of the recording, we haven't got the press conference news. It's believed that Thomas Partey has been training this week. Should he start, that would maybe lead me towards thinking Arsenal would win. But if not, if it's Lokonga again, I think Brentford can get something out of this, actually. So I'm going to... I'll stick it out anyway and stay with it either way. I'm going to go 1-1.
Go first with Everton, West Ham, James.
2-1 to West Ham.
Cool. 3-1 to West Ham for me. I think we're leaky, so we'll concede a goal. The thing now that I've noticed is, like, when we're in games and things are more recently post-transfer window, if things are not going our way and we need to up the tempo and increase the firepower off the bench, we have the ability to do it. We were 1-0 down at halftime against Stoia. He brings on Antonio and Bowen and beefs it up and increases the intensity. There's goals to be had. And so I think 3-1 to West Ham.
Jordan Pickford is obviously out injured. Everton have drawn their last 4. It's worth saying they've only conceded more than one on one occasion this season, which was at Aston Villa, and they were arguably a little bit unlucky. I note that Pickford has made 20 saves in those last 4 games. So you're averaging at 5 per game. He obviously admittedly made 8 against Liverpool, but made 4 against Leeds, Brentford, and Nottingham Forest, respectively. You may remember Brentford hit the woodwork a couple of times as well. If Begovic has to make 5 saves, he won't make them.
Cool. Nice to know. 2:15 kickoff. I'll have my feet up and watch it on the telly. Let's talk about the diff team, dead team and all that jazz.
All that jazz. Right, it's going to be a little bit up in the air. Before I do, because I'd only put it on Slack last night, shout out to our August managers of the month. Advanced tier, Mr. Callin, mates. He's back with a bang.
Is he?
He is, yeah. Callin, get in touch. We owe you money, mate. Intermediate tier patron manager of the month is Rakshit Chopra. Rakshit, get in touch, my friend. We got money for you, mate. Gareth Payton's not listening to this, but he's the basic tier manager of the month. Well done. And Mr. Tom Med is correspondent manager of the month for August as well. Probably update you with September manager of the month next week. The dead team for us, Suj, 32 points. Not great at all. Returns 4. Checks. Allison 8. Mitrovic 5. That's basic your lot. 32 points. The dead team manager of the week. There was joint managers of the week. Gareth Southgate. Yep, genuinely. Gareth Southgate has got 72 points. With dead Vindaloo. Good wind up this. And Thomas Pick with Zombie Miffin. I don't know if that's fuck off Rob Pick or not. 72 points for those guys, manager of the week. Also some good scores from Nancy Schrager, Roger Stard, who I know Raw went out to the NYC meetup. Looked like he had a great time. Kerry Thompson with a good score as well. The wooden spoon for the Zombies, yes, there were teams worse than us. Laura Oxlade, Undead United, FPL Roberto, Kerncraft FPL. Kerncraft, isn't that a all 24 points. But bottom of the shop, Raul McGinley, 23 points for dead team. Returns from Mitrovic, 5. Solanke, 12 on the bench. Unlucky. That's the same for us, in fairness, Suj. Differentials. 24 points for us, Suj. Yes, 24 points. Yeah, it's, 24 points with a minus 4. So I'd bought us Alexander Isak and Darwin Núñez on a minus 4, which both seemed reasonable moves as far as I was concerned. And I sold Vardy and Watkins. So the players we sold didn't hurt us, but yeah, anyway, not a good week. Returns from obviously absolutely fucking no one. Except we did get a Danny Welbeck assist for a 5-pointer. Obviously, he's unavailable this week. Manager of the week, differentials by a long way. Denise Parker, 71. Hello, Bradley. What's happening, mate? 6 points for Saar, 12 for Trossard, 5 for Gibbs-White, 34 for hat-trick captain Ivan Toney. I noticed he picked Saar in goal rather than Nick Pope's 12, so it could have been even better. Bradley's 71 was 10 better than anybody else in the differential league, which has put him up to third overall. Bruno Herlin got 61. Jake Reed, who is still top of the differential league, got 60. Lewis James got 59. Our good friend Stian Bosdell got 56. Unbelievably, Suj, there were teams who did much worse than our net 20. Yes, oh, wow. Unbelievably, right? So I'm gonna read them all out who got worse than the net 20.
Do it, because once we get to the minus 56, we have to talk about how shit my minus 56 was.
Jess Duckworth, L. Dobson, Gloria Konchelskis, Colin Goyer, Chelsea Schrager, Wayne Strutman all got 19 and 18, respectively. And Bernie Slaven, who used to play up front for Middlesbrough, I'm sure I mentioned him for one of these recently as well, got 17, which I feel like reading out all of it. Raya 2, Robertson 1, Gabriel 1, Matip 1, Dunk 1, Bowen 2, Gundogan 2, Kulusevski 1, Captain Sterling 4, Firmino 1, Vardy 1. At least he didn't have 21 points on the bench. Yep, he did. Yep, Pope and Patterson both sitting on the bench for 18 as part of that as well.
So his bench beat his team.
His bench beat his team. Yeah. That's always a brilliant place to be, isn't it?
Achievement unlocked. That's got to be a badge of honour. My bench beat my team.
I'm sure most of us have been there at some stage or another.
With a diff team or something like that, sure, but not with like your main team.
I don't know. It's possible, isn't it? You see mad ones sometimes, don't you, where someone will score like 35 or something and the bench will get 40 or something. Right, so how badly have we lined up, Suj, and do we need to wildcard? We have 9 players going into this week. With, obviously, because we didn't make a transfer last week, Suj, 2 free transfers. We have Hugo Lloris, we have Nathan Patterson, we have John Stones, we have Gabriel, we have Timothy Castagne, we have Jared Bowen, Dejan Kulusevski, Ilkay Gundogan, and Alexander Isak. No game for Sterling, Robertson, Aronson, Welbeck. Our subkeeper does have a game with Sarkic at Wolves, but he obviously won't play. So we've got 2 free chances. We've got 9 players. What do we do here, Suj?
Happy to lose Raheem Sterling.
If you are, there is an obvious replacement. We have 1.5 million in the bank. Raheem Sterling is 10 million to us. Should we sell? We can buy, Suj.
Heung-min Son.
It's got to be done for this, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I don't mind him. It'd be him or Isak that I'd armband.
I think it'll start Sonny.
Me too. I think it'll be Kulu, Son and Kane. Your standard top three.
He's got to play Kulusevski, as I discussed on Tottenham. Yeah, I think Sonny will play. I think he's desperate for him to get a goal quickly. And for all the talk of Conte rotation, as again mentioned on Wednesday, it's been hardly none so far. We think, as we said, that it could be Perisic and Sessegnon will play this particular fixture. If it's Sessegnon left, that might be good for Sonny as well, possibly. I feel like with Perisic, he possibly comes into central areas a little bit too soon. People see him coming. So I think, yeah, Sonny. Now, we can't afford that in the one move, Suj. We'd be 0.2 short. So, couple of alternative options for second free transfer for us. And I think we can consider a minus four here, possibly. One defensive option is Emerson. And I mentioned that partly, maybe even...
Who? Robertson?
Well, that's one option, yeah.
Yep.
And leave the money, or even get him in for Castagne, but then that still only leaves us with 10. But I wanted to throw out a few other names to consider. A couple of forwards, in case we decide we want to move Darwin Núñez on, which, despite the fact I took a hit from last week, might be the right play. Two players to mention, Richarlison, but we maybe don't think he starts at the moment, so just shaking his head. Nah. What about Solanke, mate? 5.7.
Nah. How much is Danny Welbeck?
We've got him.
No, but I'd get rid of him. I'd get rid of him over Darwin.
Well, then if you wanted to go Welbeck to Solanke...
Does that free us enough money?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'd rather go Welbeck to Solanke and Sterling to Son. Bish, bash, bosh.
So... Welbeck.
Solanke's a longer term pick, right? He's not this week, he might not return, but after that might get a bit better.
Yeah, I think that's fine, mate. That's I'm okay with that. Now before we leave that, 0.6 in the bank. Would you consider a minus four for any of these midfielders? Lucas Paqueta of West Ham?
Nope.
Leon Bailey of Aston Villa.
For who?
For anyone. Midfield currently will be, we've got Aronson with no fixture, Gundogan, Son now, Kulusevski, Bowen.
No? No, I think I'd leave it. And then from next week, we need to figure out how we're going to get through game week 12. We've got two City, one Liverpool, one Arsenal at the moment. So I'd rather work on that.
Anthony Gordon?
Not this week. I can't see him going big. We're not going to concede too many against Everton.
Phil Foden?
We've got Gundo there. Wouldn't add him.
I think Foden definitely starts, though.
Not overly.
Okay. Do you want to go Solanke and Son in for Sterling, Welbeck? Two free transfers. Leaves us 0.6 in the bank. Going make transfers, confirm transfers. That now gives us 11, exactly. So that's Lloris, Patterson, Stones, Gabriel, Castagne, Bowen, Kulusevski, Gundogan, Son, Isak, Solanke. Captain Suj is between two, in my opinion.
Son and Isak.
What do you think?
Son. I like a gamble, though, so, yeah.
Well, I think Son in himself is a little bit of a gamble, mate.
Yeah, then go Isak. I think Isak will return.
Are we really at a position we're looking at Son playing at home to the team bottom of the league and saying not captaining him here?
They're bottom, aren't they? it's up to you.
Son's ceiling's got to be higher, hasn't it? I know there's an element of risk. And obviously, look, if he's a sub, he'll definitely come on. Sonny, mate.
Go for it. He was my first reaction.
I've got on the captaincy for later, I've got Son above Isak, but I've actually got him, I think, 5 and 6.
Right.
So they're all right close together. I think Son.
Okay.
Oh, that was quite grim, wasn't it? Right, minus 56. I didn't make notes of like an idiot. And I'll tell you why. Because last Friday, I was sitting at home and I hadn't done any planning for the differential show because I was fairly confident that everything was going to get postponed. And then Friday morning, about 11 o'clock, it looked like suddenly games might be on. And I thought, oh, fucking hell, James, you better start planning for this. So I started planning and then I did the dead and the differentials and then everything got postponed and I went, like, fuck that, I'm going to stop working then.
Are there people in the minus 56 league that had done their minus 56?
Correct.
Prior, so they're fucked to the tune of 56 points.
So they're not fucked. So if you listen to this, you're like, oh my God, I took minus 56 last week and I scored zero or minus 56 rather. And obviously a lot of people have scored zero. There's one very simple solution for you. I did put this on Slack earlier in the week. Please use the wild card. So while we all minus 56 this week, if you minus 56 last week and scored minus 56, well, the majority of us scored zero, wild card this week.
Done. Okay.
That seems like a fair solution, doesn't it? Yeah. Or free hit. Whatever you want. Use either. Normal rules obviously apply. None of the players. So for now, it would be none of the players you had in game week six. But yes, if you used minus 56 last week, you did it early in the week, which I know there were eight teams did so, by all means, wild card or free hit this week while the rest of us take the minus 56. It's worth noting, for the rest of us who did score zero last week, we need to make 16 transfers. The reason for that is we've all got two free transfers. So someone's going to be going, why am I still on minus 52? I can't work it out. It's because you've got two free transfers. It's not because you've got a player from the previous week. So the best thing I can recommend is make one free transfer, do what I did, buy Diego Costa, put him in your team, and then do 15 transfers from
there. Why did you buy Diego Costa?
Because I just thought, well, I bought him, right? See how it looked.
I bought Jose Sarr. I don't know why. Anyway.
So 16 transfers. Yes, it should be minus 56 rather than minus 52. For those who didn't play it last week, by all means, smash it up. Do whatever you want with it. So although I didn't make notes of who had a good week a couple of weeks ago, there's a very easy way to find out, and that's just look at the manager of the month for September, surely, which is Clayton. He's on minus 56, 72 points net. How is he on 72 points net? That's a bit fucking big, isn't it? Oh, no, it's not 72 points 72. Net. He just scored 72. Was the high scorer from game week six by the looks of it. Manon Martin got 71, Benjamin Doyle 71, Aaron Frost 71 as well. I'm not going to look at who Wooden Spooned because there's obviously a few on some fairly stupid scores because they did the minus 56. Right, Suj, what are your picks for this week's minus 56?
Okay, I've done it very quickly because I always do better when I rush it. Ramsdale in goal. Botman, Sessegnon. So I should add, I've gone heavy here on triple. I've got freemium. I've got Kane and Haaland and De Bruyne. And I've added Kulusevski to that as well. So I've got triple City, Cancelo. He's premium as well, really, isn't he? Cancelo, De Bruyne, Haaland.
Yeah.
Kane, Kulusevski, Sessegnon. I've then added Leon Bailey because he's cheap and I need to just find some money. I have added Botman. I have added Odegaard in midfield, Ramsdale in goal, so double Arsenal. And I've added Mikel Antonio, who didn't get any minutes midweek. And so Big Fires is going to be big in it. And I've got a shit bench of Iverson, Sean Longstaff, Yannick Vestergaard, and Good at Brentford.
Good. He's not, though, is he?
Yeah, he didn't play this.
You've really scraped the barrel there, didn't you?
Yeah, I have.
Can you go with Emerson?
No, I couldn't afford it. 3.9, mate. Had to go.
Oh, it's Vestergaard 3.9?
Yes.
Fucking hell.
But yeah, so it's Ramsdale, Botman, Sessegnon, Cancelo, Odegaard, Kulusevski, De Bruyne, Bailey, Antonio, Haaland, Kane, Captain Haaland, Vice-Captain Kane.
Okay.
Don't think it's a bad team. I just think Ramsdale in goal might be a bit flaky, but we'll see. He's going to be the first person to save an Ivan Toney penalty ever.
Okay. Usual for me, treble ups across the board. So treble Newcastle, treble City and treble Spurs. The treble Newcastle is Nick Pope, Fabian Schär and Alexander Isak. The Tottenham treble up is Ivan Perisic, Dejan Kulusevski and Heung-Min Son. The Manchester City treble up is João Cancelo, Phil Foden and captain Erling Haaland. I also have Gabriel Martinelli of Arsenal and Fulham's Alexander Mitrovic, which means that I have in minus 56 this week the same front three that I have on my actual wild card. My substitutes on the bench are also scraping the barrel somewhat, but not quite as badly as Suj, Asmir Begovic, Emerson, Nathan Patterson and Harrison Reed.
There we go.
That's it.
Listeners, make sure you head over to YouTube later for James's deadline stream. Don't forget, it is a Friday deadline, so get your teams and shit sorted. And we'll be back at you next week, Tuesday, with a full roundup of content. Stay safe. Ciao for now.
Thanks, patrons. Good luck this week. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.